WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The JMU community mourns a student lost in a fire. Governor Spanberger's rhetoric against ICE activity in Virginia is providing hope to legislators who are working to limit the federal agency. And the General Assembly debates rules for so-called forever chemicals used in widely available consumer products. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, March 2nd. A 28-year-old James Madison University student died after a cooking fire in his apartment in Harrisonburg late Thursday night. The Daily News Record reports that firefighters responded to a call from a neighbor reporting smoke and found Lorenzo Gibbs unconscious inside his apartment on Devon Lane. They said Gibbs was in cardiac arrest with no pulse and was not breathing, and the fire was quickly extinguished. Gibbs was transported to Sentara RMH in Harrisonburg, where he was declared dead. Gibbs was a senior majoring in integrated science and technology. The Breeze reported that a group of students, faculty, and staff gathered on campus Friday to memorialize him. The reaction of Virginia's congressional delegation to President Trump's war on Iran split along party lines over the weekend. Cardinal News reports that both Democratic senators from Virginia denounced the attack. Tim Kaine, member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, pointed out that the U.S. had an agreement limiting Iran's nuclear program, but Trump tore it up in his first term. Senator Mark Warner, vice chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, said there was no evidence that Iran posed an imminent threat to the U.S. Republican House members from Virginia, including 5th District Representative John McGuire and 6th District Representative Ben Klein, praised the president. Democrats pointed out that Congress, not the president, has the power to declare war under the Constitution. Governor Abigail Spanberger's response to President Trump's State of the Union did not mention any pending state laws specifically, but her comments on immigration and customs enforcement activity is giving advocates hope on bills that aim to limit the federal agency's work in Virginia. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner has this report.
They have killed American citizens in our streets, and they have done it all with their faces masked from accountability.
That was Governor Spanberger at her response to the State of the Union speech Tuesday night. It was among the few lines that may suggest support for legislation currently moving through the General Assembly. Spanberger's comments stood out to immigration advocate Emily Lipinski of the Legal Aid Justice Center.
We can see that Governor Spanberger shows that she recognizes what is at stake if these bills aren't passed. What's at stake when local and state law enforcement collaborate with ICE? And we are hopeful that she'll continue to prioritize community safety and trust by passing these bills.
Lipinski's comments come as bills to limit ICE activity, including a ban on masks for agents and enforcement actions at courthouses, were passed out of a House committee Friday morning. They'll now head to a conference committee to conform language to a Senate version. And while Democratic majorities have allowed the bills to succeed, they have faced pushback from Republicans, including from House Minority Leader and Gate City Delegate Terry Kilgore, who said federal authority might outweigh state laws.
If this is intended to apply to federal ICE agents or any federal agency, it's a violation of the Supremacy Clause.
The 2026 legislative session ends March 14th. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Legislation to study Virginia's Head Start system is sailing through the General Assembly. Democratic delegate Deborah Gardner, the bill's sponsor, says talk of potential federal cuts to the program last year got her thinking more about safeguarding the federally funded program.
We're already struggling with trying to get slots and enough child care slots for working families. So it caused me to start thinking we can't afford to lose Head Start because that's our anchor.
The legislation will require the Virginia Department of Education to look into the health of Head Start programs in the state, including barriers to enrollment, and issue a report by December 1st. The General Assembly is debating what kind of rules should govern so-called forever chemicals used in widely available consumer products. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Does your tampon have forever chemicals? That's the question Delegate Holly Siebold is trying to answer with a bill requiring menstrual products have clear labeling, making sure Virginians are aware of the presence of polyfluoroalkyl substances, also known as PFAS.
The EPA has linked these manufacturing chemicals to serious health issues such as increased risk of certain cancers, hormonal disruptions, immunosuppression, and decreased fertility. Even more troubling, forever chemicals have been detected even in menstrual products that advertise themselves as natural or organic, and this leaves consumers with a false sense of safety.
Delegate Karen Keyes-Gamarra has a bill that would ban a list of dangerous chemicals from cosmetics.
There are 12 toxic ingredients listed in this bill, and these ingredients have been scientifically confirmed to pose a significant threat to public health and safety, as they are carcinogens or have been linked to reproductive and immune system problems.
Both bills have passed the House and are now under consideration in the Senate. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, the Botanical Garden of the Piedmont recently received a $1 million grant from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. The money will be used to build a storm water management system, bringing the Charlottesville Gardens into the Chesapeake Bay watershed. CBS 19 reports that the system will improve water quality and protect a restored stream corridor. A construction timeline is being finalized. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.